Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone, we thought we'd give you a wee taste of our book club podcast because they're some of our favourite conversations to have and we feel like you're missing out if you aren't part of our book club. So, in saying that, if you want to head to the show notes and join Shit You Should Read About, we have a little discount code for you. Enjoy! Bookies.
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 We actually need to know how to say that in Portuguese.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Someone find that out for us. you won't believe how we're recording this for you. We sort of thought, you know, we'll have this new life in Lisbon. Everything will be chic. It'll be, like, so easy to record our pods from our new house on our couch. We've got hardwood floors and we've got an aviary. Like, our window?
Yeah, like it sounds like a small animal farm.
George Orwell.
Yes. Our next book. No, I'm kidding. So we've had to construct. I think we're going to have to send you a picky in the Geneva chat. But basically imagine Luce and I on the couch covered in a pink and yellow quilt. And then this ladder we found in the bathroom propping up. It's like, it looks like we've built a fort.
Yes. Well, we literally have built a fort. And we're just hoping it makes some difference to the record level or the record quality.
Bear with us. And this is real life living.
Yes. This is the cost of living.
Yeah.
Making a fort with your bestie on the couch to record a podcast for your other bookie besties.
Yeah.
It's the cost of being a woman.
It really is. I love how you just immediately politicized that and I want to know more.
You want to know more. One thing that we should say is we read this book actually before we tipped our lives upside down.
Yes.
So it's sort of been lost in my brain somewhere and I'm hoping that this chat brings it back to the front.
Brings me back to reality. Yeah, I also read this book a while ago and I'll talk about my relationship with it shortly, but it was like quite a stirring thing to go back and try and remember it, but in the best way, because when I first read it, it just shocked me in the most kind of electric way that it was a really cute thing to bring to the book club. And when I suggested it, I was like to Lewis, oh, I'm nervous that it's too highbrow or like, I don't know if the bookies will like reading nonfiction. We talk a lot about like fantasy and fanfic and like other like gorge novels that we read and no one's ever really referenced nonfiction.
Yeah.
What made you take a chance on me?
Okay. Well, I've just entered this new era of reading like smart things. I feel like I used to read nonfiction about like old politics dudes and the media and things I wanted to feel productive, and it really put me off nonfiction. And then after reading what's going to be our next book club book, which is Watching Women and Girls, I really was like, okay, I should read more women authors that get it. And then you suggested this. And we really wanted the book club to be a place to read things that you wouldn't usually. So, like, spoiler, we're going to be doing some, like, fantasy shit coming up. We've never been fantasy readers.
Ever. I'm, like, the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes. And so we just thought, how fun that we can read, I don't know, books that we otherwise wouldn't. And it wasn't so much as taking a chance. It was just, like, this is the point of the book club.
Yeah.
So let's do it. And hilarious that we chose, as we found out, the middle book in a series of three.
I know. Okay. And also, just to further your point, I love a small book.
I love
a small book. You actually sent me this gorge article about small books the other day, which is just like they feel attainable.
Yes.
You're not like, oh, I'm going to have to dive into this big world.
Yes. You want to pick it up. You want to put it in your handbag.
Yes. Yes. Yep. But the reason we chose Cost of Living, just so for context, there are three books. It's like a series, but it's not. You can read them on their own or in a row. But there's Things I Don't Want to Know, The Cost of Living, and then Real Estate. And we chose The Cost of Living like level one, basic level. We just thought it was a really cute title that would resonate with how everyone is feeling at the moment, which is fucked up and not having enough money to get by. And secondly,
it was yellow.
No, and thirdly, the first book, she talks a lot about growing up in South Africa, and it's really cool. But this one shifted into her divorce, the death of her mother, trying to build a home, raising her girls. And I think something that Deborah Levy does so amazingly is, like, even though these stories are about a woman who's significantly older than us, or most of us in the book club, I think she's 64, they're somehow relevant.
Yes. And, like, I think a lot of that does come from her being a mother now, because she always talks about her daughters and her daughters' friends and how they are crazed for life, or she loves the word crazed. I noticed that. That's something I wrote down while I was reading. I was like, she uses the word crazed a lot, and it's such a Deborah Levy thing, and it's a great word. But I remember she was talking about how, like, her daughters came home from school and she loved having them around or something. She loved having her daughters and her friends around because it didn't, like, annoy her that they were so, like, loud and bolshy. And, she just, like, wanted to listen to it. And I feel like it's interesting because she's writing about people that are crazed for life in a way that a lot of us in the book club, like, we might relate more to the daughters, but it's so nice to hear an older woman respecting that and loving that and not being like, well, you just wait until, like, you get older and
you have to pay a mortgage or something. But do you think it's also because she herself almost feels like a teenager?
Yes.
Like, she's ended a marriage and she's setting up life again, and she's watching her daughters leave for uni.
Yes.
And she's like, oh my God, I'm having to do the same. And I think a lot of, apparently, people when they go in and watch her speak at writers' festivals say, like, you make me feel less lonely. Like, your life stories have become this sort of guide to life. And I feel like often I try and read older authors and I can't relate to, like, topics on motherhood or childbirth or postpartum depression or menopause. I know those are, like, very archetypal topics, but because I haven't been through that, I find it hard to relate to, and I know they're so nourishing and important for women who've been through it. So she has this magical way of fucking making you feel like you're drunk at her table with her other, like, kind of unhinged friends, and just figuring it out as you go.
And because it's funny that you say that. When I started reading this book, I really thought, I'm not going to like it because I don't care to read about divorce. I don't really care to read about a family breakdown.
Yeah.
I, like,
been through
don't
enough.
Care about motherhood. Yeah. And I was like, but as soon as I was, what, like, 3 or 4 pages in, it wasn't about that.
Yes.
It was like, these are the events that I'm using to tell a bigger story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was great. I didn't know how I was going to feel about it, and I was converted.
Yes, which brings me to those first couple of pages. Also, full disclosure, bookies, I've been on a bit of a bender, and my voice is still recovering. And I'm telling that because I love you and I want to be honest. But this book opens with a young woman, a young scuba diver, holding a conversation with a middle-aged man that we call the big silver. And he's, like, very clearly, like, such a garbage kind of guy, like, just exactly the kind of annoying man at a bar you meet traveling. And he says, you like to talk a lot, don't you? And yet she keeps speaking. And Deborah Levy says, she's making a bid to be someone braver than she felt, someone who could travel freely on her own, who could risk an impossibly complicated conversation with a stranger. And, like, not to completely relate that to our lives, but that was just, like, so it. And I think the way she treats the male gaze is so wonderful. And she has these, like, sharp, quippy lines throughout it, which constantly talk about these sort of invisible struggles or invisible power plays between men in other genders. And
oh my God, like the stories about the men that don't remember their wife's friend's name, or the man that he doesn't look at his wife anymore. All those stories, those little, she's not like overtly saying men are trash and they don't treat women well. She's just saying even the men in my life don't recognize that these little things that they do are slowly diminishing women or making women have to
do so much more work.
Yeah, like or like fight to be the subject of their own lives. I think she says in there like she has a line, I can't remember it, but it's something about
main character.
Yeah, woman having to fight to be the subject. And it's like, or in any interaction with a man, you have to fight to not make your stories be in relation to theirs, or like,
oh my God, that's so true. And I feel like feminist writing, because let's be real, she's a incredibly sharp feminist. Feminism is in literature is in such an interesting place right now, because it's like, how do you write things that haven't already been done, right? And I think what she does so well is like captures that nuance really well. She's not being like the patriarchy or like men earn more than us.
Yes.
But these tiny kind of micro dynamics that like exist so subtly in our lives, we often don't question. She actually blows up to be like way more significant things that we haven't really thought about.
And I feel like that's so, it's so amazing that she does that, because it's so often, even in New Zealand, like you can get asked like, what's it like to be a woman there? And it's so hard to pinpoint that, even though like every day you're not being told that you're worth less than a man, there are still these like constant little things that make your life differ. And it can be so hard to explain. And then you feel like an idiot, or you feel like, well, maybe we are just equal, because I can't put my finger on why I feel stupider in a room every time. But it's these things that she can pick up on.
Yes. Or it's like when you're trying to explain to your girlfriends an argument that you've had with your partner, and you're like, and then he fucking shut the fridge door. Or like they always sound so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I look back on like my professional working relationships with men, with male bosses or managers. And this is part of my personality, I think. But I've always like knowing their kids' birthdays, being like, how's your wife doing? I saw that she blah. Yeah. Or like, you know, have you made sure your husband knows about this?
Yes.
And like doing emotional labor at work. So I think she just picks up on these things so wonderfully. And I just like, I think nonfiction can be an intimidating genre to pick up, because I hate books that make you feel like not smart enough for reading there. They're like, open on a quote by Chaucer or someone, or like Socrates, and you're just like, fuck.
No, and I never read them. Yeah. I'm just like, skip.
Yeah, yeah. Or like from the Bible, even though it's not a religious book. But I think what I love about these is like, they're really normcore tales.
Yeah.
My hungover cough. They're really normcore tales of like, so much of this is about like riding her e-bike.
Yeah, and like, I know. That's one of my favourite parts of the book, is her talking about her e-bike and the freedom that it allowed her. Not just because I bought an e-bike and felt the exact same a few years ago, but just because it's such a tiny thing that allows you this freedom. I mean, to be fair, cost of living, it's expensive to own. But now she says she, because she can, has invested in three, so that when people come around to her house, they too can feel that, and
it's
they can not
so
be,
good.
Like, not rely on an Uber or I don't know, car. It's just this like tiny thing that makes him feel free.
Do you think it's also like reading this woman who's gone through like a complete combustion of her life? There's something really childlike about the way she starts to describe her life, about the shitty corridor. I just call it like the corridor of love or something.
Yeah.
And like eating kind of random meals and trying to like put curtains in her room to feel happier. And it's just like, this is shit you do when you're like 19, 25, moving into flats that are like kind of random and don't feel like home. And I had this like really vivid experience when I broke up with my boyfriend a couple of years ago, and I was at a wedding and my friend said to me, I just can't fathom having to start over again. And I was like, cool. That's my current hell.
Yes.
But what this book teaches us is like, you can start over at any time, in your life.
Yes.
And I think she talks really openly about the struggle for money and the struggle to support her children, mm-hmm. and struggle to pay rent and
yep.
create a life around her. That struggle is constant and never ending. But I just thought it's so hopeful to know that, like, you can start over at any time.
At any point, yeah.
And as I think it's really important for women to hear that, because you're thinking as you get older, like, fertility, my worth at work,
yeah.
like, am I made to feel not beautiful enough to find another partner because I'm over a certain age and my body's been told it's not as good as it used to be, you know, all of that. But it's such a hopeful kind of real reminder of, like, yeah, start over at any time.
And also that it's not the worst thing in the world to be alone, which I think a lot of Deborah Levy's generation
yes.
grew up, or our parents' generation, the worst fucking possible thing. It's why they all get married when they're 20 and then marriages fall apart.
Yes.
It's because they have just been told it's the worst thing in the world to be alone,
yeah.
and you must follow these guides to life.
Yes.
If you want to hear more of our conversations about the books we're reading in our book club, you can come and join Shit You Should Read About, which is the very apt name for our book club, where we give you access to our group chats, our full podcast episodes, our weekly prompts, our roundups. It's just the cutest community on the internet. And even better, if you click the link in the show notes, you can get a discount to become a Cisco supporter and join the book club. So see you there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.